It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day. I'm glad that you've joined us. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 49. So please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. We'll begin to read, and as you have enjoyed the study, and while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and my beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon, Levi, are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitants. O my soul, come not thou into thy secret, their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. The sepulchre shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and he clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth white with milk." We're going to begin, end the reading there at that. The next son will be Zebulun. Please, let's begin with prayer now as we study the Word. Father, I just ask that you will guide and lead us as we enjoy this study today. It's such a great opportunity to come together and to study your precious Word. We have been in this wonderful book of Genesis for a long time and have really enjoyed it. I hope, Father, that it was a blessing to all that are listening. I hope, Lord, that you received honor and glory because of the study that we've had. We are in the 49th chapter. We have one more chapter to go. And Father, I just praise and honor you and thank you that we had this opportunity to study your precious Word. Look forward to the next study, which will be in Exodus. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us as we move right on into the next book in your Bible, in your precious Word. And I ask, Father, that you'll touch every heart, that the heart will be moved to you, that they will stop wandering aimlessly around us from one place to the other, but they will realize that you are the important one. You're the only one that can guide and lead. You're the only one that can bring joy. You're the only one that can bring a forgiveness of sins through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So please, that we come by faith and know and have this personal relationship that we need to have with you, dear Lord. Please, please, it begins there. It begins at the cross of Calvary, where you, Lord Jesus, died for us. Please now guide and lead us through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we were reading through there, it's kind of a difficult reading, almost in the words, looking back and forth from one point to the other of what's going to happen to these boys. And we've only read through four of them here in this first section of chapter 49 down through the 12th verse. And we have, as we look at there, we have Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah. Those are the four out of the 12 sons that we're going to be looking at today. And I just ask that you listen very, very carefully as we do come and enjoy this study. Jacob called his sons together. You know, Jacob's about to die. We have, looking in the verses above, as we find Joseph, and he come down and spoke to Manasseh and Ephraim, Joseph's two sons. And you'll find later, as we continue to look through the sons and the tribes, why there are going to be 12 of them, but the tribe of Levi is never listed. I'm sorry, the tribe of Levi is never counted because it is will be the priestly line. And also you'll notice that Joseph's name is always missing because you see Joseph gets a double blessing because Ephraim and Manasseh get equal amounts with the rest of the brothers because of Joseph's faithfulness unto the Lord. So you'll notice that as we go through, you can count them and there's 12, but you wonder where Joseph is, because he is not listed. And then why is there 12? Why isn't there 13 if there's a double blessing? Well, Levi is the one that is never counted because it's of the priestly line. Now, we begin here, and in preparing for his death, behold, I die, in verse 21, God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. That was, he wanted Joseph to promise him that he would take him home, that he would not be buried in the land of Egypt, but that he'll return back to Canaan, because he knew that was the promised land. He knew Egypt wasn't their home forever. And Jacob, or Israel as his name has been changed to, recognize that, and it recognizes that and realizes that. We talked about how that in the later years here we have Jacob really growing spiritually. This man named Jacob, this man named Israel, is continuing to grow. And God opened his eyes to see some things in the future here. And some are good and some are not so good. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Now, as we were looking at the last days here, those last days are not as we think of them in the church. You know, the last days is a time period we're in right now. You know, we're going to very soon, I believe, that the church will be raptured and will enter those that are remain will enter into the 7-year tribulation that's going to be here upon earth. And so we're in the last days, and it's coming very soon. But here it's referring more of the last days of Israel. Not of the church that we think of today. So this is a different time period. You know, when you're studying the Word of God, that's one thing that you need to be very, very careful with, and that is that some things that apply to the nation of Israel were given to Israel and Israel alone, not to us as the church age. And so you can call those a lot of different things, but we many times refer that as different dispensations too, different time periods. And things were held, certain promises, things like that. But please don't mix up. It's very easy to divide it through the Scripture. It's very easy to understand. But if you try to make the things that were promised to Israel in the church age today, it doesn't work. It just isn't there. It's not what God intended at all. And so And that's not my interpretation. It's just very clearly taught in God's Word. And so please that you look carefully now as we look at these last days that Israel here is talking about. And, you know, we begin, and you can see in Hebrews 11:21, and let's just turn to that, Hebrews 11:21, and we'll find a kind of a picture here that I would like you to have as this man Jacob, Israel, is about to die, very weak, has very little strength. And so it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, chapter 11, verse 21, I hope you're turning to that. I took time to, so please that you do too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, that was taken place, as I think this comes very quickly, as he spoke to Joseph and his two sons, and then he called the rest of the brothers of Joseph's brothers in to talk to them. And so one comes right after the other. And if you can just kind of imagine how he doesn't have hardly enough strength to get up on the edge of his bed. But he kind of, when he does, he gets a hold of his staff and he leans on it as he begins to speak to his sons and his children. So if you can kind of keep that in your mind, he's leaning on this staff and all his sons are gathered around. And now he begins. Hearken unto Israel, your father, is the call in the end of verse 2. Reuben is the firstborn. He begins with the eldest. That's where he starts. He ends with Benjamin in verse 27 as the youngest. And so we begin with the Reuben, the first, the eldest. Thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Look at that. Look at the hope that Reuben, that Israel had in Reuben. Look at what it meant to Israel when Reuben was born. And you know, a lot of times our firstborn, why it does, it excites us. It's our life given to another, and it's just wonderful to see a baby born and begin to grow up and mature. Well, sometimes in our lives, you know, we raise our children, hopefully the God-given way, His way. But sometimes the children don't follow and don't watch and don't set their eyes and their heart up on the Lord Jesus Christ. They decide to kind of choose their own way and do what they want to do. Well, it's never changed through time. Happens still today, and many times it breaks parents' hearts as children decide to go their own way and truly leave the way of God aside and do not surrender to the Lord Jesus, do not have no desire to be saved, and it just breaks the hearts of many mothers and fathers as that happens. But here we find Reuben. And you heard what I have just read, the beginning of my strength, my might, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. And now let's look at verse 4, because all of a sudden things are going to change, and change quite drastically. Unstable as water. Unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, thou defilest thou it, and he went up to my couch. Now, as we looked at this, unstable as water. You know, we too, there's a couple of things. You know, we try our best to raise our children. But many times, the reason that our children fall and go the wrong direction, it's because of the example that they have. Sometimes as parents, we don't give very good examples. And in early days of Jacob's life, he was probably more like the unstable as water. as he is talking about Reuben. Jacob has grown. We can grow too. Just because this is something that you were in your youth, and just because your children maybe saw you do something that was improper, it can be forgiven. Sometimes the parents do not forgive, the children do not forgive the parents. And sometimes I've seen the time when sons would say if their father's a drunk, their father's an alcoholic, and they'll say, you know, I will never drink, I'll never smoke, I'll never do that. And then a few years pass, and they're just like him. They're just like him. And he said, well, it was in the genes. No, it was a decision made. There was a decision. There was a choice made. And for a period of time in a young person's life, maybe that choice was good and was right. But then they decide to walk after their fathers, or maybe somebody else that they're looking at and watching and admiring. They probably shouldn't be. Here, Reuben made some very, very bad mistakes in his life. And because of that, Jacob is telling him, you are going to have a life much different than what should be for the firstborn. The firstborn should have the birthright. The firstborn should have all the authority. The firstborn should have everything. And in this case, the firstborn will have no benefits in relationship to the position that they held. This sin that he refers to here took place about 40 years before. About 40 years before with his father's wife. Isn't that something? It's never forgotten. Those are pretty harsh words, thou shalt not excel. You know, that's a desire that all of us have of our children, that they be successful, that they can have a job and raise their families and do what is right and proper in society in relationship to their family, their own children and their parents, and be a pillar in the community, that you can make this a good community to live in and things of that sort. And so we want them to excel. We want them to be successful. But here the words are given to Reuben by his father that thou will not excel. You will not excel. And this is true because in the tribe of Reuben, there was never a judge, never a prophet, never a prince. His own brothers didn't even pay any attention to him. And so you see, instead of being my might, the firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, that's the potential that this man Reuben had, his son had, but instead of that, he's unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. That was the problem. Then defilest thou it. He went up. And see, as we look at this, these are they're harsh words. And again, his brothers doesn't even follow him. And if we look back just a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 42, verse 22, we have, and Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. That's when they sold Joseph, you'll remember, right? And they were all of a sudden finding out that Joseph was still alive, and they felt like they were haunted by his soul, I guess, because they couldn't figure out. But they felt responsible for his death, and they didn't listen to Reuben at the time when they put him in the pit. And so that was all the way back at that time. And now as years have passed, we're told that even his family members, whatever leadership that Reuben gave, it was poor leadership. It was not godly leadership. It was not good leadership. It was poor leadership, and no one would pay any attention to you. No one would follow. So that's kind of what we have here. Reuben became as water that is spilled out across the ground, And you know, a lot of things can be spilt. Something can be broken, and you spill something, and immediately it's of great value. So you clean it up and try to get it back. But you know, when you spill water, what do? If you spill water on the ground, nobody gives it a thought. It just slowly soaks into the ground, and it's gone. Nobody pays much attention. Well, that's about Reuben. Now, that's as we watch through his life now and the life of his descendants, that's about what they're going to be. Now, isn't that a sad statement considering what was said at the very beginning there in verse 3? Now, the next one is verse 5. We have Simeon and Levi. Now, Simeon and Levi are brethren, of course. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Now, look at this again. Remember where Israel is kind of sitting on the end of his bed, leaning on his staff. He has talked to Manasseh and Ephraim earlier, Joseph's two sons. And then he gathers together all the brothers, all of Joseph's brothers, all of his sons, and he begins to tell them basically of their future. And so far, it hasn't been a good time, has it? How would you like to be standing there? And you're there, and Reuben is, you know, the firstborn and kind of puffed up, and he's going to be something praised, I'm sure. He's going to hand the everything over to me. And, you know, again, he says, you know, thou art my firstborn, my might, my beginning. Look at that. Boy, he's just getting all puffed up, and then he gets blown away when they says, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. That was quite a deal. Well, I'm sure now Simeon and Levi are wondering what they're going to get. Now, Levi, again, he's of the priestly line that's to come. We wonder what's going to happen here because it says Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Now, if you remember right, they went to a town called Shechem. Remember when they did that? We can continue here in the verse 6. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and with wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Well, that's what we have from the 5th through the 7th verse of what Israel says to and about Simeon and Levi. Well, do you remember what happened? Remember when Dinah, she went down and got involved with the prince of Shechem? Do you remember that? And the prince raped her, and the boys found out. And when the boys found out, why, they kind of went down. It was kind of a strange thing, because as they were talking to, they kind of visited back and forth, and almost seemed like that they were going to bring them into the family. Don't you remember they all had them circumcised? And then, in such a cruel way, they were so sore from the circumcision that they agreed to do that, and then they went in, they killed all the males, and they spoiled all the city. They took the children and the women, and that's what Jacob is talking about, what Israel is talking about here. What a sad day! What a sad day that they were in. They were held responsible for it. Now, we're going to find cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, their wrath, for it was cruel. You know, they begin and they just wouldn't stop. You know, it just like they were possessed to make this right, and it was over and beyond the crime that had been committed. And if Dinah would have stayed home, it wouldn't have happened at all. She's the one that went down into the community and down into that area. If that hadn't happened, if she hadn't left her brethren, why, none of this would have happened. But instead of that, why, Simeon and Levi. Now, so we're the number one, number two, and number three. they are not in good standing with Jacob at all, and they are told of their problems and what they have done. Now, it is different, though, because as we look at the situation and look at Simeon and Levi, I've made reference several times to what Levi is about to do. Levi is going to be placed as the priestly line. And so you see, because they're reminded of what has happened here, we need to be reminded of God's grace. Scattered, yes, they are. The priests, they had no land. They had small sections of land, but they weren't given land like the rest of the sons, the rest of the brothers. And they were placed throughout all of the land of Canaan, from way up north to way down south. They were scattered. And what does it say there? It tells us that they will be scattered. And scattered them in Israel, the end of verse 7 tells us. And so that came to pass. But you see, God is able to transform a sinner. And that's what he does with us. And as we look that when a believer, when a person comes by faith to Jesus Christ and is saved, when that takes place, we find that we become priests. Now, I would like to show you in 1 Peter, there's a couple of verses of Scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And then if you'd go with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Look what happens when we become a child of God. We become a priest. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that we have become a priest. Now, and that's not the priest that you think of today that's connected with the Catholic Church at all. This here is of the priestly line. What a wonderful opportunity. And when we get on into the tabernacle and on into the study of Exodus, you're going to understand what that means, what position that puts us in when we become a priest. And so as we look here through these scripture verses, and we find that Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, there was nothing said good about them. But we do know about this man named Levi, because Levi will be chosen to be the priestly line, transformed, a sinner into a priest. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have. God's grace is wonderful. We need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. If you are depending upon your works, your church membership, if you're depending on anything other than Jesus Christ and upon his death at Calvary, because you see, that's where your sins was given to him, attached to him, and he died there, that your sins could be taken away. Because you see, God required the death. It had to be paid. The wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. And either it's going to be you, or you can accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and be saved. Be saved from that death. Oh, you may face a physical death, but you will not face a spiritual death. And that's much worse, thousands of times worse than a physical death. So please, that you come by faith to Jesus Christ today. That you recognize that it can't be bought, it can't, there's no works that you can do for it. You must come by faith, and you must trust in Jesus Christ and come today and receive that gift of salvation. That's His grace. Don't just hope that His love is going to carry you through. Oh, God loves me. He wouldn't send me to hell. He's not sending you to hell. You're on your way to hell. He's giving you a way out of and off of that path and on the way in the path of righteousness. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?